the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
And I'm back with a different microphone, so I might sound a bit different even as soon as it starts working.
I don't think it is just yet, but anyway, it is now. Good. Okay. We're starting a new series today, so you get the bulletin, of course, in colour. Appreciate what that once again doesn't happen that often, only four times a year, so enjoy that as you see that today. A lot of nice pictures once again in there. Gail just did a wonderful job. Before she left, as a church member, I can now thank her for that. But we're starting this new series looking at the Holy Spirit. As a reminder, it's this year, the theme is all about God. God matters. So it's all about looking upwards, focusing on who God is, understanding him better, and being able to worship him better because of who he is, not because of who we are. So it's all about looking upwards to God. We started term one by looking at the Son. And we started that because it finished more or less at Easter when we remembered Jesus' crucifixion. And we focused especially on the I Am statements, as you would remember, of how Jesus revealed himself in the Gospel according to John. Now, this term we focus on the Holy Spirit. And once again, it's deliberately chosen because this will coincide with Pentecost as well. And we remember how we receive the Spirit and what he means to us. Very often, I think, in church life, we focus a lot on God the Father, and we all understand who he is and what he means to us. And we certainly focus a lot on Jesus as well and what the Savior means to us as Christians. We do that, and we focus, give a lot of attention to that. But very often, I think, we forget about the Spirit, and we need to focus on him as well, as he's just as much part of God as any of the other two. And we'll look at that as well. So we'll focus on the Holy Spirit during this series. We won't be able to cover everything regarding the Holy Spirit, but we will be covering a decent amount, I think, for us to understand more who he is and what he means to us. Some of the things we will be covering are these things. We will be looking at the fact that he was actually promised to us, even in the Old Testament. So we'll look at that. We will see when we celebrate Pentecost, what exactly happened on that day, and then we'll start looking at how he works in us, what he does in us, And then we'll also look at what that means to us, what that brings to us, the fruit that brings to us, the fruit of the Spirit, as we find them in Galatians chapter 5. That's what we'll look at. Tonight we start with the one question: who is the Holy Spirit? Now, just in mentioning that question, it's actually important to hear exactly what I say. Who is the Holy Spirit? A lot of people think that the Holy Spirit is a something, that it's God's power, it's God's presence, it's God's strength working in us. And if you look at other religions, if you look at the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, they believe that it is God's energy and strength. It's an it. So they would ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit? I deliberately put to you, who is the Holy Spirit? Because we believe that He is a person. He's part of the Trinity. He is God Himself. He is where heaven and earth come together in us. That's an amazing thing to think about. Where God meets creation is within you. The Holy Spirit is where God, as the creator of heaven and earth, with His creation come together. It's here tonight when we gather that God meets His people. And it happens with that connection we have within us, in that one person, the Holy Spirit. So we look at who He is tonight, and we'll focus especially on John 14. So I'll try and only mention things that we find in this chapter. There's a lot of other things will be revealed as we go through the series. But a couple of things I think we learn tonight in this chapter for us to at least start to appreciate who He is to us. Now, once again, and I think Gail did this before as well, just sketching the background of chapter 14 of John. And let me just sketch this for you as well, because we understand that, to understand what Jesus is saying in this chapter. In this chapter, we find Jesus with His disciples gathered in a small little room the night before His crucifixion. A night when many things happened. A night when in John 13 we are told He bowed before His disciples and washed their feet and taught them that they should love one another. A night when He pointed out who His betrayer would be. A night when He instituted the Lord's Supper that we will remember as well. A night when He knew what was to follow after this. He knew exactly that He was going to be arrested, that He was to be tried, that He was to be convicted, that He was to be sentenced, and the very next morning He was to be crucified. He knew that in a couple of hours His disciples will be scattered and they will be running for their lives. And they knew that something was about to happen to them, because they even feared going to Jerusalem with Him. In John 14, we find this discussion probably happening later in the night, maybe even as late as about midnight. And as Jesus looks at His disciples, He saw the fear in their eyes, the fear that they would be abandoned, that they would be orphaned, that they would be left alone if He leaves, or if He dies. And in this discussion that we read, this is what He says to them. He starts by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That's how the chapter starts. And then He talks to them about the Holy Spirit and how He will not leave them alone, but He will send someone in His place to be with them. That someone will be there to comfort them and be their strength. And at the end of the chapter, He finishes by saying, "Well, come, let us leave." And His suffering was about to happen. Later again, after His resurrection, we find that He meets with His disciples a couple of times. For the last time He meets with them, He blows on them to remind them of this promise of the Spirit to come. Now, just in case you do not know, this coming Thursday is Ascension Day. So this coming Thursday is the day we remember what Jesus did when He ascended into heaven and left His disciples with that promise that the Spirit is to come. And what He promises to them is this: Ben, just go one further for me, please. What he promises is this. He promises to them that someone else will come in his place. Someone who is his equal, the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. Now, not very often do we read in the Bible all three persons in the Godhead named together. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. It actually happens, if you read between the lines even, you see it happen right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1. When God created heaven and earth, it says that His Spirit was hovering over the waters, and He created through His Word, and the Word is to become His Son. So God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was present even then. But here we find a very distinct mention of all three in the Godhead, in the Trinity. John 14, verse 25 and 26. All this I have spoken, said Jesus, while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So all three are mentioned in this verse. It's only later, about the 4th century, when the whole doctrine of the Trinity was set. But even before that, the principle of it and the truth of it is revealed in God's Word. But the major thing I want us to see tonight is the fact that God is a person. That God the Spirit is a person. That God the Spirit is not Jesus. And Jesus is not the Father. But yet, all three of them are together one God. Now, this is not math that is easy to explain or understand. Many people have tried many different ways, looking at the different states of water, for example, talking about ice and water as a fluid and vapor. But it doesn't explain who God is fully. He's much more than that, even. We just know that the maths in God's Word is that 1 plus 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 3, but it equals 1. We only have one God, but He is three persons, and they can be defined, and we understand them to be the Father, whom we know, the Father to be a person we easily accept, the Son as a person we know, Jesus to be a person we can accept that. But we need to accept as well that God, the Holy Spirit, is a person as well. That is how Jesus refers to Him. Have a look at verse 17. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. And again, verse 26. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now that is not something a thing can do. Jesus very clearly refers to the Holy Spirit as a someone who will do these things. Now, why is this so important? Why can't we just believe in that to be a power working in us? Why is it so important to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person? Because if we believe that, then we understand that it is God with us when the Holy Spirit is with us. God is not far from us, but He is with us, and He is within us. And that takes away all the fears we have about God being distant to us or God working in lesser strength than us. Many people think that, or some people would think that some would have more of the Holy Spirit or less of the Holy Spirit. But if you believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, that cannot be true. Because how can you have less of a person or more of a person with you? If He's a person, He's with you, or He's not. And if He's with you, He's with you in all His power. And that's the same power that was with people like Paul, for example, who's a spiritual hero to us. It's the same power we have because it's the same Spirit living with us and working in us. And He's that close. See, very often as well, we think that God is close to us. Where's God tonight? People think, well, God is here, people would say. But He's more than that. Where is God tonight? He's within us. God Himself is living within my heart and is living within your hearts. He is within you. And that's, on the one hand, quite a daunting and scary thing to consider. If it was only God's presence or God's power, you might think that you'd be able to hide things from Him. But if He is personally with you and within you every single moment of your lives, that's such a blessing, but also such a scary thing to consider. But He's always there. Once you have Him, He'll be with you and He'll stay with you. And that's the promise we receive in the words of Jesus as well. So I want to just clarify this to you to understand what it means. And I'm going to focus on one of the words that Jesus uses here to tell us about the Spirit. He calls Him a paraclete, and I'll get to that later as well. But just listen to this story, and I think you'll understand what it means. It's a story I heard a long time ago, and I probably won't do justice to it. I'll forget numerous things in it, but I think it'll help us understand what the Spirit does. It's a story about a fisherman called, I'll call him John, and I think he had a different name, but I'll call him John. Now, John grew up near the ocean. He was taught about the ocean and about fishing from a very young age. And as a young man, he got his own little fishing boat and gathered a crew to go out fishing with him. That became his occupation. So they would go out into the ocean, they would fish every now and then on a smallish little boat, and then one day as they went out and as they were out in the ocean, a big storm came up. And it was a really big tempest they were facing. The boat started shaking, the waves started tossing them around, the boat started breaking up and things started breaking, creaking on the boat. They tried to tie things together just to save themselves. They put on life jackets and they started to fear for their lives. And leaks started appearing in the boat as well. And water started coming in. And they were pumping the water out, but the water was coming in quite quick and they couldn't get all the water out. And they tried to get back to land, but the closer they got to land, the worse the storm became. And they got so scared that they felt lame because nothing they did anything to their situation. And all of a sudden, a great big ship, one more bend, a great ship appeared, one back. Okay, doesn't show. There's a word on there that you can't see. But all of a sudden, a great big ship appears behind them and moves just alongside them. Between where the wind was blowing from to protect them from the winds and the waves, and just being in that shadow of that great ship gave them the opportunity to fix some of the leaks and was able to help them get to the safety of the harbor. The great big ship didn't do anything else. It couldn't because the storm was too great. But just coming alongside them gave them that comfort and gave them the opportunity to get to the harbor. And I think that just helped me understand what the Holy Spirit does and who He is to us. See, when Jesus was speaking to His disciples, they were scared of being alone. They saw this great ocean they were on and they felt that if they were orphaned, how will they ever be able to cope? And then Jesus promised to them, this paraclete, a counselor, will come alongside them and be there for them always and every single moment. They will not be alone, but He will be with them through the Holy Spirit, who is in fact God Himself as well. So He Himself will be there and will be their protection for them through His Holy Spirit. We receive a number of things with this paraclete coming alongside us. And I want to just talk about that as well for a moment. Now I can go to the next slide, please, Ben. The first thing, the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, the one who comes alongside us, does for us, brings to us, is the gift of faith. We are reminded in chapter 14 in Jesus' words that He will give His Holy Spirit, the paraclete, to come to us and that He will remind us of all the things Jesus did. That He will be the one who connects us with Jesus and all His works. He will be that connection we need to be saved. God Himself will connect us to God through the Holy Spirit. This morning someone else mentioned and said, well, and maybe you can understand this connection as Wi-Fi. And the Holy Spirit, something like that. Something we can't see, but it's there, and we can connect with it to the website or to the internet. Well, in some ways that's true, but I think God's much more than that, because it's not, once again, just a force. It's not just waves, but it is a person. It's God Himself saying that He will come to be with us and will connect us with all the works of Jesus, that we'll be able to accept and embrace His works, that we'll be able to trust in the works of Jesus. Paraclete. Let me just mention where this word comes from. It comes from two words in the Greek. The first, para. Para means alongside, next to, like you would find with parallel lines, for example. So para always means next to, alongside. Cleat or kletos comes from the word which is like calling or speaking. So paraclete is someone who comes alongside and speaks for you, but also speaks to you. And so very often we find it difficult to translate this word into English. You'll find this word being translated into something like counselor that we heard tonight. It's translated into advocate. It's even translated into comforter. It's this person, God Himself, coming alongside us like that big boat to be with us and to protect us and to guide us in life and to keep us safe and to make us feel as if God is with us and bring comfort to us. All of that is mentioned in this one word of the Holy Spirit being a paraclete for us. He brings faith to us that we can be connected with God Himself and find faith. Second one. Next slide, please, Ben. We also find in the Holy Spirit that He brings to us the gift of obedience. So Jesus mentions quite a couple of times in this chapter that it's about obeying Him. If we love Him, we will obey His word, He says, His laws. And He will give us the Holy Spirit so that we are able to do so. The Holy Spirit is the one working in our hearts to give us this desire to do what God wants us to do. He gives us the desire, but He also gives us the strength to obey God's laws. He's the one working in us that is making you ask in your life, how can I be a better Christian? What can I do more to serve the Lord? He's the one guiding us to understand how we should live. And He's doing that by coming alongside us and working in us so that we might ask those questions of how we are living. On the next slide, we find the third thing that the paraclete brings to us, and that's the gift of calmness or joy. And I want to mention to you verse 27, and I'll start at the end of that verse, and then I'll get to the beginning of it. But at the end of the verse it says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You remember the story of John? And they were all full of fear when they thought that they were going to drown. When they saw this great storm and all the waves, fear lammed them, and they couldn't do anything. And what the Holy Spirit does is, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and brings to us a sense of calmness and trust, and knowing that He's there for us. Another illustration, I think, will help us get that sense of what this means. Very often, I think I've mentioned this illustration in other ways as well, but very often when we have toddlers or when we are toddlers, and you guys might still remember that, when you're like preschool, 3-4 years old, if there's a big storm outside and thunder and lightning is all around us and the wind's blowing, very often small little kids get quite afraid of that. And they get up in the middle of the night and through dark rooms and through a dark corridor, they find their way to the parents' bedroom. And when they get there, they just stand next to the bed and you get quite a fright. But you wake up and they either get in bed with you or you take them and you put them in bed between you and your partner and they just fall asleep again. The wind's still blowing outside and the thunder and lightning's still going. But they have that sense of calmness because they feel safe. Well, in our house, then they start kicking and rolling, and one of the parents has to go to the child's room. So that happens too. But just that sense of calmness and knowing that I'm safe in the arms of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings to us. See, for the disciples as well, their lives didn't change. It got worse. After this, they were persecuted, and all of them except for one was actually executed because of their faith. Their lives got much worse, but they had this calmness which Jesus promised to them. And that was before they received, because they received the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete who came alongside them, right next to them, to be with them and give them that sense of safety in God's arms. That's what the Spirit brings to us today as well. We go through difficult times. Our lives didn't change much. We very often stress and struggle with things in life, and God doesn't promise that if you become a Christian that He'll take that away. But if you receive the Holy Spirit, He comes alongside you. And He'll be there for you in the worst of circumstances. Let me take you to the beginning of this verse. Jesus also says in the next slide that He promises to us, as this Paraclete will be in our lives, the gift of peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." My peace I give you. That's very distinct. Can you remember also, those of you who were here, when we got together on the Sunday of Easter and we talked about the resurrection? This is the first word that Jesus said to His disciples when He saw them again for the first time as the living, risen Christ. He said to His disciples, "Peace be with you." The same word we find here. The word in the Hebrew we know so well, shalom. Let me read to you also Romans 14 verse 17, where Paul explains this, mentions this. He says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." See, if we have the Holy Spirit, if He comes alongside us, we have this peace, shalom. And that peace here is much more than just the absence of a conflict or the absence of war. Peace here is God's healing, God's restoration. It's God with us. It's the fullness of God's blessing. It's righteousness. It's joy. It's having God with you every single moment and all of His grace in Jesus filling your life. That is what the Holy Spirit brings to us and what Jesus says He means to us. That is who He is. He's the one who's there alongside us, even more so the one who's working in us. A paraclete to us all. Now not, I know that's the third word people will remember or heard this morning as well, not parakeet, that's a bird. But paraclete, like that great big ship, coming to be with us. Bringing to us faith, the connection with God. Helping us being obedient and changing in the way we live and what we do. Bringing to us this sense of calmness and joy. Bringing to us the fullness of shalom, of God's peace. You need to ask yourself this tonight. Do I have the Holy Spirit with me? Is He living in me? Because if He is, He's there for you and He gives all these things to you. As we go through this series, I will not be able to give you more of the Holy Spirit. He's with you or He's not. What I'm hoping we will achieve is the fact that we will give ourselves more to Him. That we will understand more who He is and we will worship Him more and serve Him more and bow before Him. And that we will find His strength and live in His strength. That we will ask these questions around our faith. How am I connected to God with the Holy Spirit working in me? Am I living out that faith that He is working in my heart? I know that I need to trust God, but am I doing that in life? The obedience that He brings to me. Am I obedient to what God wants me to do? I know that He works to see my heart, but am I obeying that? Am I hearing God's commands? Am I doing what He wants me to do? The calmness, the peace. Am I struggling with things in life? Or do I have that sense that God's protection, His Holy Spirit, He Himself is with me every single moment? If we can grow in that knowledge and grow in that worship of looking upwards and just understanding who He is more, then Series 2 would be successful. So I'm praying that we all be able to do that. Let us pray for that now as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this precious gift of Yourself. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for promising that You will not leave us alone, but that You will send the Counselor, the Comforter, the Paraclete to be with us, and that He will stay with us until the end of time. Lord Jesus, thank You that You left this earth and ascended into heaven, because that paved the way for Your Spirit to come down and be with us, and not only just be with us, but be in us. We thank You, Lord, for coming alongside us, protecting us, comforting us, guiding us, giving us strength. I pray that as we go through this series, Lord, that You will help us understand what we have, what You have given us, that we will bow before You and that we will understand what that brings to us, that we would, might live more according to Your will and serve You better and bring honor to You. Holy Spirit, I pray that You work in us in all Your power. And if there's any one of us here tonight that is doubtful whether You are with us, Lord, I pray that You'll come down and be the God for us, that You will be the Paraclete for them, that You will come to those who haven't received You yet and just You'll come down and be in their hearts. Father God, I pray that You'll do this for many. I pray, as we mentioned earlier as well in the announcements, for this course of Introduction to Christianity, that You'll use Your Holy Spirit to call people to come and hear about Your kingdom, about the Savior they have in Jesus, and that Your Spirit will convince them of faith, that they will be reborn. That is how powerful the Spirit is, bringing life to a situation of death. I thank You, Lord, that we have that power for us tonight. And I pray that as we now celebrate the Lord's Supper, that You will work in us through this Holy Spirit to remind us of the salvation we have in Jesus. I pray that we will once again understand this and bow before You in all thankfulness. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let us now also celebrate the Lord's Supper, as I mentioned tonight. God is so gracious in giving us the sacrament that He doesn't just use His word to remind us of what He did, but He uses all our senses, that we can see and taste and feel and understand what Jesus did for us. How Jesus, on that night He was betrayed, did this for His disciples even, to help them understand what He was about to do the very next day for them. So as a reminder of this, let me read to you how Paul describes this to us as well. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And then there's a warning. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." It's so important for us to understand what the Lord's Supper is all about. Jesus gave this to his disciples who were believing disciples to strengthen their faith. Not to bring faith to those who don't know him yet, but to strengthen the faith they had. To remember what he did for us. And as we also partake in the Lord's Supper tonight, we remember what he did for us. Now, if you at all love the Lord Jesus tonight, if you have the Holy Spirit working in your hearts, reminding you of what he did, then I invite you to partake in the sacrament tonight. In fact, Jesus himself instructs us and calls us and commands us to partake in the sacrament. He invites all who are longing for him in these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Sounds pretty much like the promise of the Holy Spirit that will bring peace and rest and calmness to us. I now invite you to come and help yourself to the elements of the bread and wine. What we normally do is, I think Elizabeth's going to come up to play, I think. Not? Okay. So the practice here is you go to the sides, you come to the front, you help yourself with the elements of bread and wine. It's grape juice, so it's alcohol-free, it's dairy-free, it's sugar-free, it's safe to use for everyone here tonight. So please go to the sides, come to the front, help yourself with the two elements. Go down the center again, take your seats, and I will instruct you when we actually eat and drink together. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body which is for you." His body was broken for our sake. And even as we chew the bread, we are reminded of the fact that it is our sin that broke his body. It's because of our sin that he had to sacrifice his body on the cross. Let us now eat the bread and remember that great sacrifice for our salvation. Just imagine that first night, the disciples not completely understanding what he was saying. But the very next day, they would see how he sacrificed himself and laid down his life for them. That night, he also took a cup and he said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us remember the blood of Christ spilling for the complete redemption of all our sins and the new life that brings to us in the resurrected Jesus. Let's drink the wine and remember him. Please pray with me in thankfulness. Heavenly Father, we thank you also for this precious gift of a sacrament tonight. One of only two you've given your church to remind us of what you did, to strengthen our faith in seeing and smelling and tasting and experiencing what you did for us. Being reminded of how your body was broken for us and how your blood was spilled, how you lay down your life so that we might have redemption and life eternal. Lord Jesus, we praise you for this precious sacrifice you made. We thank you for doing so in your love for us, even while we were still your enemies and while we were hating you and while people were crucifying you. Still, Lord, you did this in your love. And you did so thinking of all of us, even us living now, giving your life so that I may be saved. I pray that you'll give your Spirit and all his strength to work this in us and remind us tonight what this means to us, that we might live a life that is honoring to your name. I pray this, Lord, for our sake, for those who aren't with us tonight. Pray this for all our GI partners, that you'll be with them as well, Lord, that you'll give them the strength they need. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with all those suffering in this church and family members we know about as well. Lord, I pray that you'll lead many to us, to your kingdom, to salvation, to yourself, through the wonderful work of your Spirit founded on the wonderful foundation of the work of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Pray this tonight in his name. Amen. Now, as the band